They just let it go.
They just do nothing. And Al, the investigator, is like, they decided that the juice wouldn't be worth the squeeze. And yeah. I'm like, is that right, though? Like, is it only a health code violation? She's desecrating dead bodies.
And more than that, even, she needs to be deterred from doing this again. Because she doesn't get in trouble, you think Jean's just going to let this go?
She's like skimming the obituaries, being like, ooh.
Who, with her
like
shovel?
Like shopping.
What? Oh.
Hello, Patrick Hines.
Girl, what are we talking about today?
Lots of characters in this one. That Curious Case Of series.
Yeah.
Season 2, episode 8. This is called The Corpse Who Came to Dinner. Let me tell you, it's exactly
yes.
the image that comes into your head when you hear those words linked together.
It makes no sense.
Some of the people in Wyalusing would prefer not to talk about Jean Stevens.
Those neighbors knew nobody ever came for it.
People didn't call the police. They would handle things on their own.
There was always local rumors around. People would say, Gene's going to the graveyard.
We had rumblings that an old lady was digging up bodies.
My brother Cecil, he's seen her digging again.
What is going on here and why are losing?
Everybody has dark secrets.
I want to say we were really hard on the filmmakers of Benjamin Kyle, who are also the production company that make this. Mm-hmm. I think this show is great.
It's good. It makes me wonder they must just slap their names on it
but also,
and not actually do it.
Benjamin Kyle should have just been an episode of this. Don't you think that
I
Benjamin
agree.
Kyle story as like a 40-minute, that would have been fine.
We needed Beth Karras as our anchor. I was hearing a lot of feedback from our Benjamin Kyle coverage and everyone was saying this feels like Relentless all over again.
Yes.
And that is totally true.
100%.
It should have been a 42-minute banger like this one.
Also, Beth Karras is on fire in this.
She's the only reasonable person here.
Always the only adult in the room. So we open, I can't say this town.
We're heading to Wyalusing, Pennsylvania.
Now look, this is a beautiful town.
Rural Eric Bradford County is beautiful. It's wide open. You don't have many neighbors around. A lot of activities go on up here that you would never know existed.
And it's a kind of town where you can literally get away with anything.
They say lots of activities going on that you'd never know existed. And I just thought of Ben Stiller, Meet the Parents. Really? Like what? Like, kind of scared. Now I'm scared. Really? Like what?
You spell on my boxers, bro? I say it every time you bring it up. So we're at a coffee shop with a real character named Tom Carman, former Bradford County coroner.
He's here for the cheesecake.
Okay. In fairness, I'm not a cheesecake person, but this cheesecake does look, it's pumpkin cheesecake.
He says it looks fabulous.
It does look, I'm sorry. Just spit on you.
Yeah.
It does look good. This guy's got like tattoo sleeves. He's the embodiment of like, I bet those tattoo sleeves looked really cool when he was young. Mm-hmm. And they look fine on him now, although it's weird to see tattoo sleeves on an old man, but he still loves them.
Yeah.
We wear t-shirts in December so everyone can see his tattoo sleeves.
Sure.
I feel like every coroner we've ever met who's actually sat down for the interview is a bit of an oddball.
Yeah, well, don't fall too much in love with him now because
no.
you're going to think he's so funny and charming and like a breath of fresh air.
Uh-huh.
Enjoy it for the time being.
Uh-huh.
I just want to tell you now, don't be surprised when it all comes crashing down. I'm just the messenger.
He's the least of our worries in this thing.
He says, say what you want about Jean Stevens, which is what this whole thing is about.
Jean Stevens.
And the friendship that we developed.
View her how you want. But Jean Stevens, I'm telling you, was witty, creative, manipulative, crafty, charming.
I'm like, oh, you stuck manipulative right in the middle there, didn't you? Like, it's a good thing.
This 92-year-old lady's gonna hike her dress up when it suits her.
And he's also in love with this little diner. He stops mid-sentence to genuinely thank the server. He goes, thank you so much. I really appreciate it. That looks delicious. Thank you. He is like, yeah, I'll sit down, but we have to do it at my favorite diner.
Yeah.
He's obsessed with this place.
The thing about this town is that it seems cool. Like, I would want to get an Airbnb in this town if I didn't know this story about
it. Yeah, I'm good.
Yeah, you don't need to go.
Good. I can see the mountains in a different place.
Fam, what you're about to hear, what we're about to live through as a family is unconscionable.
All right, Jean Stevens. She had a twin sister named June.
Oh, did she ever?
Jean is like sweet grandma persona, reserved, quiet. June was more classy, we're told.
June was, Beth Karras says they were very different, but very close. And Jean made a promise to June that she would never leave her. And boy, oh boy, did she keep that promise.
Yeah, says Jean.
Right, totally.
Let's remember, everyone Jean is talking about is dead. So we have Jean's word and nothing else. So
it's kind of like the dogs from Queen of Versailles, where you were like, bitch, let me die. Like, bitch, let me die.
Oh my God. Did I say that?
Yeah. Those poor stuffed dogs that, like, she, remember this?
Yeah.
Like, she tormented them in life. She would not let them go in death.
How mean was she in real life? I don't remember.
Jackie, she wasn't mean. She was just a lot.
I mean, who wants to be around anyone like that? Dogs feel the vibe. Yeah. They don't like it.
No. And I feel like these poor corpses that just inter me, just stick me in the ground and let me stay there.
Well, these two twin sisters married two brothers. Jean married Jimmy and June married someone. They don't tell us his name.
That's true.
Married some guy.
And none of them can have kids.
Yeah. We're not told if that's a choice or like what the situation is.
Or if it's even true.
I don't know anything about anything, honestly.
Give Beth Karras all the paperwork and let her tell us what went down.
I know.
You know
what
I mean?
She's trying her best, but like no one's letting her.
It's true.
In this one.
They always also have Beth shoved in a corner by a table for her interview.
It's like she filmed all of them in one sitting.
You know what?
Like
that's
a quick,
true.
Like,
it's at the
turnaround.
Other side of the table from the last episode we did. They never give her like a nice hotel conference room with some coffee. It's
she
always
it.
At a table.
She's always the voice of reason. She's exasperated.
She's totally.
Just give her like a nice fluffy chair.
Poor Beth says no fewer than like 10 times, never in my life
like,
in
never.
This episode. Girl, Jolie is back. Look, Jolie is a beauty and wellness company with a clinically proven filtered showerhead designed to remove chlorine and heavy metals that can damage your skin and hair. I was just telling you, I was just looking at Daisy's Jolie showerhead today because it's like the thing that will get her into the shower and then we cannot get her out. She is obsessed with it.
Well, it's so pretty.
It is
number
pretty.
One. It's so pretty, but it installs in a minute. It fits all showers.
I did it. I was able to install it myself.
This is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
It delivers amazing pressure because nothing is worse than low water pressure when you're trying to like rinse your hair.
And can I tell you too that we've noticed a real difference in her hair when she used to get in the shower, wash and condition her hair, get out, and it would still be tangled and a nightmare to brush. Really, truly not anymore. It is like there's a major difference in the texture. It's made our lives immeasurably easier.
Yeah. And also, it's not just for your hair, it's for your skin too.
Yes. Yes.
Come on. We're baddies now.
Someday she'll care about that.
One day.
So, fam, try Jolie risk free for 60 days by going to jolieskinco.com/TCO.
That's jolieskinco.com/TCO.
Jolie is also available on Amazon and Costco, both online and in store.
It's like now you're living in a luxury hotel.
I know, that's so true.
Done.
Fam, before we get back to the show, just a reminder, join us over on the YouTube. We have over 600,000 subscribers. Our videos are super fun. Go watch us. Watch us for the one that we're doing today. This one is The Curious... It's just wild.
I don't even know where we're going to go with this one.
It's just
it's
crazy.
So nuts.
We also have a Patreon. We're doing a lot of really interesting stuff on Patreon. Jillian's been doing a lot of follow-ups to, like, The Crash and... What was the other one?
Maternal Instinct.
We also have over 500 full ad-free bonus episodes. We do those every Friday, covering all the series on Netflix, Hulu, HBO Max.
And we're doing things that we didn't do on the regular feed. So like that 3-episode Top Model thing.
Yes.
We did the 3-episode Michael Jackson thing on Netflix.
Yes. We only take 2 weeks off of Patreon a year.
Yeah.
So like there's so much content over there. You can get links in the show notes to both the YouTube and the Patreon and our Facebook group and the Discord. Go check it out.
So the property, they live on this property.
Let me give you the layout of the property that Jean and June had in Wyalusing. Jean lived in a more humble home than June's summer home, which was less than a mile down the street, and 120 acres of property.
120 acres.
120.
Now, I Googled this because I have no idea about numbers, height, weight, acres, age. I don't
that's
know.
That's a lot of land.
Like any game that's like, how many jelly beans are in that thing? I'm like, a million.
I have no idea. Yeah.
About anything at all.
Let me take a guess. 120 acres.
How many football fields do you think it is? Because that's the number I have.
Oh, 100.
Close, 90.
Yeah.
About 90, I
remember growing, like, remember my dad? Like, when I lived with my mom and my dad.
We never met.
Truly.
But he's dead.
Truly.
Now.
I remember, when I showed you the obituary, you chuckled. It was perfect.
Did I?
But because I chuckled. We chuckled together. Like, I got texted my dad's obituary.
What did it say?
It just, like, it was texted to me from my sister. And it was like, my dad, I haven't seen my dad in 30 years. And I chuckled and I showed it to you and you chuckled and I put it down and we went back to drinking.
Yeah.
It was a great moment.
My memory is failing me today. That's I have no idea. It's like, I've never seen The Queen of Versailles.
Yeah.
I remember you telling me when your dad died.
Yeah.
And I was like, are we going to go in on this? Or are you cool? And you're like,
no, we're drinking.
That was when Drizzly still existed. And you were like, we're ordering.
We were in the office drinking wine. But the point is, I grew up on like 3/4 of an acre. And I remember thinking we had, not grew up, like until I was 10. But we, like, I remember that was, felt like a lot of land. So 120 of those.
Huge.
Huge.
So Gene was, quote, weird and peculiar. For example.
Checks out.
Tom at the diner says, before Gene and her husband went on vacation, Gene's like, oh, I just want to see my mom.
Sounds good, right? Only one problem. Her mother's dead. In the ground, buried. Gene told me they actually dug up and saw her mother. So then, after literally seeing her mother in the grave, they take off for Florida and they go on their vacation.
This bitch and her husband dug up her mother, said hello, and then went down to Florida.
GP, I will expect nothing less. If I die before you, do that one time.
Never. No. I'm never doing that.
No, I will be burned.
Because I don't need to be haunted. I'm telling you right now, I'm not fucking digging you up and saying hi to you.
And don't bury me. I need my ashes spread in the theater district by the Oscar Memorial
Book. Write it down, get it notarized, whatever. That's Steve's job. But I'm not digging you up.
No. This is the growth. The thing that, like, the thing that it takes too long to say here is that there are corpses everywhere. And it is disgusting. I understand that they were people once. They are not. Now they are rotting corpses. And that is disgusting.
It's disrespectful, too. Yes. It's very rude.
I'm going to put disgusting above disrespectful. It is disrespectful.
Yeah.
But it is also gross.
Yeah, it's insane.
Homosexuality, not an abomination. No, this, yes.
This is. So David is a retired criminal investigator. He's hearing about the rumors about some eccentric old lady digging up bodies. And he's like, they were just rumors. No one actually called police to report it. So nothing happens until July 15th, 2010.
Because David gets a call that he needs to do a welfare check on Gene Stevens. So he goes to the house.
But someone calls and they're like, can you just like go over to Gene's house? And they're like, why? And he's like,
it's time. It's go time.
Just go.
You're going to need to go.
I don't want this in writing. I don't want any. I just like, please just go to her house.
Please. So he goes. This nice old lady answers the door and like invites him in. He's like, not so fast.
He's like, hey, gorgeous. Like, trying to be nice to her. Like, just checking in. Want to make everything. Yeah, yeah, want to make sure everything's okay. And Gene's like, okay, I'm freaking great. Like, what are you doing,
bro? We're having a party in here. Do you want to come in?
He's like, come on in. Let's eat. And so Dave passes on the snacks.
Yeah.
He has more questions. And he's like, hey, does anybody live here with you? And she's like, no. Would you like another cookie? And he's like,
let me rephrase the question.
Is anyone staying with you? And she goes, oh my God, of course. My sister's on the couch in the living room right now.
So they go into the living room.
There's a reason he's asking a lot of questions. At first glance, it may not seem odd that Jean is entertaining her sister until you realize that her sister has been dead for several months.
There's a fucking corpse on the couch. It's
June died 6 months ago. Jean is Mrs. Batesing her sister.
100%. She's got her.
Like, Jean is Norman Bates.
Yes.
She Mrs. Bates-ed her sister.
She Mrs. Bates-ed the shit out of her. She's in a wig. She's got makeup on. She's in the same dress she was laid out in for the funeral. So it's not like June died in the house and Jean never told anybody.
And left her for the birds to feast on, like that other weirdo from Benjamin Kyle.
Not even.
Which was a lie.
Which was a lie. They had a funeral for this woman, then buried her. And we'll get into all this in a minute. I'm just saying that, like, she was laid out for the public to come, like, do a public viewing, and then somehow wound up on Jean's couch.
Jean buried her up and, like, and then cosplaying as Norma Bates.
Yeah.
So the cop, like, very, very gently is like, What's June doing here? And she's like, why is she here? She's my sister and she's a great conversationalist, I'll have you know.
And I
like,
promise I'd never leave her.
And Dave's like, oh, that's nice.
It's adorable.
Excuse me for a moment. Just excuse me for like 1 minute. Dave calls Tom from the diner, the coroner. He calls his crime supervisor and he goes, there's a situation that really needs to be addressed. And I'm like, I'll say.
Yeah.
So we meet Al Ogden, yeah, who's another voice of reason here, pretty much. Like,
I mean, everybody, even the guy that was just at the house and saw the body, everybody, even to this day, thinks it's a little cute.
It's, yeah, we'll get into that. Yeah. It's so insane and bizarre. Everyone's scared of her.
Yes.
It's very strange.
But they're also charmed by her. It's wild.
So Al is a retired state police criminal investigator. And he's like, you know that term when people say it's stranger than fiction? This case proves that, like, you can't write this shit.
Yes, it absolutely was that.
And he talks about Jean's house.
The interior of the house was immaculate. It was spotless. It was like it got to the 50s and stopped. You know, the ceramic top tables and the counters and the old appliances. And then, like I said, the way she was dressed and everything.
Spotless and like frozen in time, like the 50s. Like you got to the 50s and then it stopped, which you know I love.
You see that on Zillow sometimes. It's the best.
It's the best, but I just have to call something out.
Please.
That's just like a continuity.
Oh, error. Shit.
In the reenactment, we see Jean like putting makeup on June.
Uh-huh.
And she's using this very famous Urban Decay naked eyeshadow palette.
Urban Decay.
Which is like so out of place in this 1950s
oh,
home.
Is it like from the 2000s?
Yeah, and uh-huh. You can tell that it was definitely an afterthought and they like barred it from the very cool makeup artist uh-huh. on set. Uh-huh. But like anyone can clock the Urban Decay naked palette.
That's so funny.
And it's like, no, she's using like old Clinique or something from 1956.
While we're on the subject, the corpses are part of the reenactments and they are badly done on purpose, I think, but like they are still terrifying and disgusting to look at.
Yeah.
Like the corpses are in the reenactments.
Jean does not see a problem with this. This is totally normal.
At
she's
all.
Like, hello, fellas. Yep. Hey, come on in, boys.
Yep.
And Al, the investigator, is like, she's as friendly as anything. She had fresh baked cookies on the counter. And I'm like, she's Ray Finkel's mom in Ace Ventura when she's like, Dan Marino should die of gonorrhea in rotten hell. Would you like a cookie, son? She's like, hey, don't like ignore the debt. You want to have a good conversation. Talk to my sister, June. She will yap your ear
literally.
Off.
Literally.
Would you like a cookie, son?
But also, like, Tom from the diner is also like,
when I went out there, I'm thinking, this poor lady, she is crazy. Within 2 minutes, I knew this lady was as sharp, if not sharper, than me.
I thought she was going to be this crazy old lady. No, smart as a whip.
Also, doesn't it smell in there?
Like, that's what I can't stop thinking about.
And no one's talking about it, and you're eating cookies?
I mean, Beth Karras is going to really go in on that in a minute.
So they're all acting, like, Al the investigator is like, tread lightly.
Yeah.
No sudden movements. Jean thinks everyone wants to just, like, come over and hang out.
Meanwhile, Tom the corner's like, she's leaking embalming fluid all over the couch. Yeah. He even says, like, the stink in there was unbelievable.
And she's playing dumb. She knows exactly what they're there for, but no one's saying anything yet. And finally, Al, the investigator, is like, hey, Jean, quick question. I heard your sister June is here. I'd love to have one of those amazing conversations with her that you have with her. Like, what's the deal? And Jean's like, why, of course. Would you like to meet her, sailor? And like, Tom at the diner, this is so such great editing.
Yeah.
Tom at the diner is telling us the story. And he goes, and then Al goes, I'll never forget it. Oh, classic Al. I'll never forget it. And so Al says to her, he says, and then we cut back to Al saying, as a matter of fact, I would.
Uh-huh.
Perfect editing.
And he does it like a 5, 6, 7, 8. It's great. Girl, Home Chef is back. Look, Home Chef is that meal kit that we love and adore. Steve and I were literally talking last night about how much less often we order out now that we have Home Chef.
Yeah, people love Home Chef.
Yes.
Home Chef is rated number one by users of other meal kits for quality, convenience, value, taste, and recipes.
Yeah, and it takes the stress out of your week. It takes the stress out of your night. I always say this, when you know that you've got dinner in the fridge, it's going to take maybe 30 minutes. They've got all these different ways you can do it. You can actually chop and cook if you want. They've got the oven-ready meals, which are the ones I'm tasked with making because you take it out. You put it in the little tin that they provide.
Yep.
You put it in the oven. You let it cook for 25 to 30 minutes and dinner is ready. And it is like restaurant quality.
And talk about easy cleanup.
Yes.
You're just putting it in the thing that they send you and heat it up and then you eat it and then you recycle the thing.
It's
the end.
Literally no cleanup.
Yeah. 2 seconds.
2 seconds. Also, Home Chef's GLP-1 friendly meals also make it easy with pre-portioned ingredients and dietitian approved nutritional guidelines. What you eat on that stuff really matters.
Yeah. You're saving money.
Yep.
You're eating delicious food. You're barely cleaning up.
It's true.
So good.
I was always barely cleaning up.
Love.
Family, for a limited time, Home Chef is offering our listeners 50% off and free shipping for your first box, plus free dessert for life.
Go to homechef.com/TCO.
That's homechef.com/TCO for 50% off your first box and free dessert for life.
Homechef.com/TCO.
Must be an active subscriber to receive free dessert. Otherwise, I'm getting it.
I mean, come on. They're not giving it away.
No.
So there's June on the couch like Norma freaking Bates.
It's so disgusting.
And Tom from the diner's like, we ain't in Kansas no more, buddy.
No.
Holy shit.
Because like in another context, like in this context, I think this episode is shot very well too because it's like slow motion, they're clinking tea glasses. Like in another context, this would be a fucking horror movie.
Right, because we just hear these two investigators are like walking in and seeing dead bodies and then we cut to Tom at the diner.
Yeah.
He goes, I gotta tell you, I know we're talking about death, but this pie is
delicious.
Primo, primo.
Primo,
and I'm like,
primo.
Tom, love the vibe, love the pie. I need someone to start reacting appropriately to what's happening.
Wait, Beth Karras will, but we're not there yet.
Al brings us back on track real quick.
Yes. Because Dawn says to Jean, I've been hearing for years, by the way, girl, that Jimmy, your husband, is here true. Is that right? She's like, absolutely. Jimmy is here. He's out in the garage. So they go out to the garage.
We go out in the garage. Gene lifts the garage door, hears this rolled up carpet on the left.
And there was quite a bit of stuff stacked on top of him. And we dug down until we got to his body.
Jimmy's been dead for 10 years. He is wrapped up in a carpet under garbage. And they say to her, why does June get the couch and Jimmy gets the garbage? And she's like, because I loved her more.
Yeah, it's just so awful and disrespectful because he's like there's a bunch of like stuff stacked on him, as they say. He's just like there. Like, what are you
doing? If you're going to dig him up, why put him in the garage? Just let him stay in the ground.
Yeah. And Beth Karras is here to say, like, you know what makes this worse? Everyone in town knew about this for years. She was doing this with many, many dead bodies and no one did a thing about it. At one point, Beth Karras is like, hello?
I know.
You can't just live with corpses in your house.
I know. It takes way too long to get to somebody actually saying that.
Except me screaming at my computer today watching it.
She's like, why? Like, there's got to be something wrong with Jean, right? Like, she's not okay.
Yes.
Okay. What if you're like, well, hear me out.
This can't be a hot take.
No, like, there's something wrong with her.
This is, like, insane.
Even to just be able to tolerate having corpses in your house. Like, there's got to be, like, that lady with the birds who wanted the birds to eat her husband because that was his dying wish, even though she was collecting his pension and all of his paychecks.
Right.
Like, you can't, like, can you imagine, like...
No, you don't have to, like, I feel
turning
like you're
the
convincing
lights off.
Me. Like, what?
I know. I was thinking about this. Like, even in my apartment in New York, and I've got, like, people living on every other side of the wall, when I turn the lights off, there's bodies everywhere in my house. I'm positive.
It's the roaches are in your mouth.
It's the most... roaches in your mouth, killer outside the door, bodies in the closet, blood everywhere.
Yeah.
This, to anybody but Jean, is an absolute... horror story. She's happy as a clam.
Happy as a clam. I love happy as a clam.
Yeah.
I love what that means.
Remember Daisy Speedy Clam?
I do.
She had a pet clam for one day. It died.
May she rest.
May she rest. She stank just like the corpses in this house.
Well, because she's a clam.
And she died.
And she wants to go. You know what happy as a clam means? It's like either high tide or low tide. Whenever they're safe from predators, they're
happy
as a clam. And then I'm like, oh, predators.
It's
going to
go
sad.
It's going to get dark real fast.
Now I feel bad for the clams. So let's talk to Kate. Kate is a family friend.
Kate's crazy fucking too. Kate is implicated. She's got blood on her hands. She's laughing through this entire thing. She's another one who thinks this thing is so true. Kate, what is wrong with you?
Yeah, Kate is married, or her life partner, as she says, is Jean's nephew.
Yes, Doron.
Doron. So Kate goes over for tea, sees June and Jimmy's dead body, because Jean's not hiding this. And she's like, can I tell you something about June?
Her skin was still intact and... she had makeup on and was still wearing her dress that she had been laid out in the viewing. Jean was quite forthcoming about Jimmy, that his ears were starting to come off. But
tell me something about Jimmy. His ears are falling off.
His ears are right. And Kate tells us that with a chuckle.
She's laughing. She goes, well, my dear, Aunt Jean is a little unusual. Kate, shut the fuck up. Stop gaslighting me. Stop gaslighting me. I feel insane.
You're all crazy, not me.
And Beth Karras is the only one responding appropriately
to this. Like, Beth Karras is beside herself.
And I'm like, Beth, sit next to me.
I know. Like, everyone who didn't call the cops, who knew this was happening, has blood on their hands.
So Al the investigator and Tom from the diner are like, Jean, we're taking the bodies. And she starts to cry.
I know.
And won't take no for an answer.
Jean, we're taking the
bodies. We're taking the bodies, girl. Enough is enough.
We got to take the bodies out of here.
She's like, don't. Great.
I know.
And Al's like, this is when she turned on the manipulative side, where she's like, I'm just a little lady. Like, I don't know. Like, what are you talking? What do you mean this is wrong? What do you mean?
Because Daniel, the DA, is here. And he's like, were there health code violations for having bodies in the garage for a decade? Absolutely.
At the very least.
Did we think there was it would serve any purpose to charge this old lady and give her a fine? No. They just let it go.
They just do nothing. And Al, the investigator, is like, they decided that the juice wouldn't be worth the squeeze. And I'm like, is that right, though? Like, is it only a health code violation? She's desecrating dead bodies.
And more than that, even, she needs to be deterred from doing this again. Because she doesn't get in trouble, you think Jean's just going to let this go?
She's like skimming the obituaries, being like, ooh.
Who? With her
like
shovel.
Like shopping.
What? Oh. Like Sophia and the Golden Girls.
Yeah.
She's literally skimming the obituaries with a shovel like she's shopping.
Now, let me tell you, because I couldn't believe, I was like, she has to be breaking a law. She has to be breaking a law. Here's the thing. Laws about dead bodies vary from state to state. Drastically.
Why don't we, let's regulate this.
So in like New York, if she did this in New York, it would be a lot different.
She's going to prison.
Like, but Pennsylvania law, which is where we are, defines abuse of a corpse as knowingly treating a human corpse in a way that would outrage ordinary family sensibilities, and it's only second degree misdemeanor. And there are no examples anyway. It's very, very vague. Very, very
vague.
Because
it's like, we don't have to spend too much time on this, they said, like signing the state constitution, because no one's ever going to do this.
I'm like, why is this so vague? They have a lot of laws about like historic burial sites or like stealing from dead veterans. And I'm like,
well, that all makes sense.
That all makes sense.
Yeah.
And it's also very specific, but there's nothing else about this. There's no examples of what they mean. So that like,
I just love it. Like the Continental Congress or whatever, like Benjamin Franklin was like, do you think we need to have a ratify the Constitution?
We'll handle it ourselves. We'll handle it ourselves.
But do you think that there's ever going to come a time where some old lady's going to dig up her sister and her husband and put them in the living room with makeup and cookies? Probably not, right?
They will. You have to, I mean, look, if they...
But expect the best, plan for the worst, I guess.
Yeah. If those slave-owning white dudes were allowed today, they'd be...
I guess that's true.
Alive today, they'd be out of their minds beside themselves at what this has all become.
They spent 5 more minutes about this in 1776.
Can I tell you something? I was watching something with my dad over July 4th weekend about, like, the history of this country, but it was really focused on the indigenous people and, like, natives. It was very cool. Robin Roberts was there.
It was
on, like, Disney Plus or something. We were watching it, and there was a native woman from a tribe saying, We will always push back on the narrative of like Christopher Columbus and the founding fathers. We were here first. And she goes, but what a lot of people don't understand is like, we don't hate the ideas they had. Like, we all want this place to be great.
We don't love the smallpox blankets.
You know, we hate smallpox blankets and the rape and all of that and the murder and the genocide. However, like the grand idea, like, that's cool.
We're all
like we
that.
Could live on that.
Yeah,
we
yeah.
can live with that. We can absolutely work together on that. But we're like, we're also not going to be a race.
For sure.
We're not going to be raped and murdered in a race.
No.
But like, we
for
all
sure.
kind of like, I think that's a lot of, that's something that a lot of people forget, like a certain like circle of people forget that she's like, we're not working against you, girl. You just got to give us a little because we were here.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Well said, everybody.
And also, Pennsylvania, do better with dead bodies.
Well, because Beth Kara says that.
But here's the thing, people not only knew about the bodies in the house with Jean and didn't report it, some also participated. And she'd been trying to get at bodies for more than a decade.
She'd been trying to get at bodies for nearly a decade.
Okay.
She'd been trying to get at bodies for nearly
this
a decade.
A compulsion.
Yeah, for sure.
We're going back to 1999. Jean's husband, Jimmy, dies 11 years before the story takes place. Jimmy was buried in Lime Hill Cemetery, and then Jean, like, the next day decides that he can't be there because she is claustrophobic.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I get that you're claustrophobic, but what did Jimmy want?
Right.
If he didn't want that, wouldn't it be in his will? Like, I don't think he wants to be disturbed in a fucking garage with wrapped in a carpet with things all over him. And, like, he died of Parkinson's, which I learned. It's not like he was tragically hit by a bus and didn't have anything written down.
Right.
So if he wanted to be in a fucking garage wrapped in an old rug with, like, hoarder's shit all over him.
But even if he wanted that, it still shouldn't be allowed.
Right. It's just so clearly all about Jane. She's claustrophobic, so he can't. And or that's a bullshit excuse. It's all about her.
Jean is crazy, but, like, she's a lady with a plan. Because... She decides she's going to have his body exhumed, which apparently family members can do.
She has a right to petition for it.
And she pretends that she wants to exhume her dearly departed husband so she can put a pair of slippers on him and put him back in the ground. So this is what happens. They exhume the body. She puts the slippers on him. Back in the ground he goes. The loosely packed dirt now goes back on top of the box. Everyone goes back to their life.
But what she's done is...
Yes.
She's made... This is all manipulated and, like, calculated by her.
She's a smart cookie, this one.
She had the exhumation people do all the hard work and heavy lifting literally for her because now it's much easier for her to go and dig up Jimmy himself. And I'm like, why is that?
Right.
Why after you, is that, are you telling me right now, am I to understand that what is being communicated to me right now is that every time someone is exhumed, it's just easier for you to get to their body afterwards? I just can't.
I think what they're saying is that, like, the dirt is tightly packed, there's rocks and stuff, and they're using a backhoe to get down to the thing. But I'm also like, wait, did this 92 or I guess 82-year-old woman at that time, like, take a shovel herself in the middle of the night and go dig this guy up?
Absolutely not.
No.
As Beth Kara says,
look, she's a 91-year-old woman. People say, oh, she's just a sweet old lady who was lonely. But you could also be manipulative because she didn't get those bodies into her house by herself.
Because she didn't get those bodies out of that house herself. Like,
no.
Beth.
Beth has had it.
It's been a long couple years for
and
Beth.
And, like, we don't know who helped her because Jean says they're all dead. And I'm like, so that means they're in your house, right, Jean, with all the other dead people, you know?
Oh, my God. It's so disgusting. girl, Ladder is back. Look, this is the plan that's going to like let you go to the gym and actually know what you're doing. You're not wasting your time. You're going to get a real workout in, and you're going to have an actual person in your ears telling you what to do.
Yeah, so it's not a content library,
no.
Most importantly, right? So these aren't like influencer workouts or challenges, which yep. we talked about. Like, that doesn't work.
Yep.
This is real progressive programming designed by certified coaches, and it's like having a personal trainer in your ear.
And you get a new plan every week that builds on the last. So the workouts connect. Like, if you're not actually building on the thing that you just did at the gym, what are you even doing there?
And it's because your progress is tracked automatically.
Yes.
So the app remembers your weights, your reps, your sets, and that way you can see yourself getting stronger over time. It's awesome.
It is really the only way to actually build muscle. And I wanted to say too, Ladder now includes nutrition tracking at no extra cost. Like, that is so beneficial.
Calorie in, calorie out.
And it's like the combination of the diet and exercise.
There you go.
So fam, remove the guesswork with Ladder and get a real coach in your ears telling you exactly what to do for every workout. No thinking. Everything is planned for you. You know I don't like thinking.
Right. And if you have an iPhone, head to ladder.fit/TCO and take a quick quiz to find your perfect ladder plan.
Use our link and get a free 7-day trial with no credit card and $10 off your first month if you join.
You know I love a quiz.
Oh,
about
totally.
Myself.
Yes. Girl, Masterclass is back. So let me tell you this. When I was writing my book, it was a comedy memoir. I really wanted it to be funny and good. And I was like, who's the best in the world at this? David Sedaris.
That's right.
What did I do? I got on Masterclass and I took his class. And I can't even tell you how much I learned and like actually applied to my writing.
Yeah, they have the world's best instructors.
Yes.
And unlike other learning platforms, Masterclass puts you in the room
yes.
with these people, not just experts, but like the best of the best.
We're talking 200 plus classes across 13 categories, business, writing, cooking, creativity, wellness, and more, with plans starting at just $10 a month, billed annually.
Remember the other day I was just talking about the movie The Big Short?
Yes.
Okay, that's based on a book, and
yes.
he also wrote Moneyball, another great movie, but his name is Michael Lewis. You can learn how to tell a great story with
yes.
the guy who just wrote the book about the movie we were just talking about.
And let me tell you, this actually works. So 3 in 4 members feel inspired every time they watch, and get this, 83% have applied something they've learned to their real lives.
Right, and there's no risk. So every new membership comes with a 30-day money back guarantee.
Yes.
Come on.
So fam, Masterclass keeps adding new classes, so there's never a better time to get in.
Right now, as a listener of our show, you get at least 15% off any annual membership at masterclass.com/TCO.
That's 15% off at masterclass.com/TCO.
Head to masterclass.com/TCO to see the latest offer.
Do it.
So now we're 10 years after that. It's 2009. And Jean does the same exact thing to her sister that she just did to her husband.
Because she gets her own property designated a cemetery so she can bury her sister on it. And nobody will see her getting the friends to dig the sister up.
And Beth Karras is like, well, that's allowed in Pennsylvania.
She gets her backyard designated a cemetery. And I'm also like, when you're a town hall and you're Jean and people know that you do this, why are you allowing it, town hall?
I know. Because it's on her property, because she learned
yeah.
and then adjusted. And it's like, you know, since June was buried on Jean's property, and I'm like, what did June want?
I know.
I just can't get over the disrespect. And like, these people are not involved in these decisions. Let them rest.
No, and like, I'm of the opinion of like, a body's a body. I'm not saying this should be allowed by any circumstance.
Sure, I understand what you're saying.
Yeah, it's like, June doesn't really care. But for me, I'm sorry, maybe I'm just like a heartless bitch, but like, it just, there shouldn't be dead bodies floating around people's house. That's all I care about. It is disgusting. It is unsanitary.
I don't understand your tone saying that you're in the minority with
this. No, I'm just saying, like, I don't really care what June wanted. It's not that I don't care what June wanted. I just don't think that that's like, I just think like there are dead bodies in the house.
Right.
This needs to be stopped.
I'm making the assumption that this is not what these two people wanted.
No.
No, it's not what anyone wants.
No. So meanwhile, neighbor Jim Flanagan. So Jim Flanagan, over the fence.
A neighbor saw what she was doing. He naturally pitches in to help. They took June into the house on a sled, where then she was placed on the sofa.
Tom, the coroner, says he naturally pitches into help. I'm like,
naturally,
no,
naturally.
Not naturally. Yeah. Not naturally
no.
at all.
No.
Like Devil Wears Prada. Oh, you're not Desolée at all. Not naturally
not
at all.
Not naturally at all.
Stop gaslighting me. Every single fucking one of you except for Beth. Stop it.
The cop's going to talk to Jim. Jim's story is a little bit different. He's like, she wouldn't stop badgering me. I couldn't let her do it herself.
So what?
So we dug the old girl up, put her on a sled, and dragged her into the house. Call the police. Jim?
Well, now that the DA knows about it, that DA who was like, we didn't feel like doing this for Gene.
Do you think we should charge Jim with anything?
No, no, no. The DA says it wasn't appropriate or useful to prosecute at this time.
Not useful.
What do you do on a daily basis, sir? What is your job, sir?
There are dead bodies being dug up and dragged on sleds into homes. Somebody needs to get charged so we stop doing this.
Real quick, we got a cute dog alert.
Oh, we do?
We meet two townies, Jeff and Marianne, and there's a black lab, and there's a very close-up shot of the snoot, like, right into the camera. We don't know their name, but it was a nice little reprieve.
It's,
I was like, finally,
cute.
Along with Beth Carr, someone I could really, like, stand by and love.
I also love the lower third of townie. I really love that.
Now, Jeff, they're not, like, together. They're just literally two townies. But once again, Jeff does not see the big deal about this. He goes,
it didn't hurt anyone.
I actually wish they just could have left her alone. I knew her husband was dead. I don't see anything wrong with having somebody in your house. Everybody has dark secrets.
Everyone has dark secrets. Jeff?
I know.
What's going on at your house, brother?
Somebody needs to get into Jeff's basement and stat.
Have you ever seen a guiltier look on someone's face?
No,
he's,
I know.
He's twitchy. He can't make eye contact. Jeff, you should have stayed home.
This is the town you moved to where if you want to dig bodies up and put them in your house.
That red light means it's recording, Jeff.
I know.
It's on HBO Max.
And I was like, oh, he's probably one of those, what do you call those people? Libertarians or whatever.
Who makes their own bullets.
Yeah.
Lives off the grid.
Everyone can do whatever they want. Live free or die. Like,
there's got to be a line.
I feel like I have to say this in every episode now, though. We've all agreed to live in an organized society where we don't do things like murder people on the sidewalk and we don't dig up bodies and put them in dresses on the couch. We have to agree not to do that.
Like, it didn't end well in Psycho. Did anyone watch that movie all the way to the end? It's not like the big reveal. Sorry if you haven't seen Psycho, which is like required viewing for everyone. The big reveal is what makes you as the viewer think, this man is insane.
Uh-huh.
He has his mother dug up in a fucking dress with a wig on. Uh-huh. That's the like, oh, uh-huh, this man is fucking crazy.
Yeah.
Spoiler alert for Psycho. Watch it, the original one.
Gene Norman Bateson.
Bates, her sister. Bateson-ed. But again, like, that was the device
that
Alfred Hitchcock used to let, like, this is an undeniable psycho.
Right.
Hence the name of the movie. How can I show that this man is psycho? Oh, I'll know. And then he'll dress like his mother.
I know.
And do the voice talking back.
It's just crazy that, like, everybody in this episode is talking about, they're talking about this like it's cute.
I don't feel like a I'm so gaslit right now. I'm like, am I actually here?
Watched this the first time and then I was like, I'm going to have to watch this again and take my notes. I was like, I don't know if I could do it.
Yeah. And also, like, these people, Beth Karras cannot understand, like, how everyone knew and no one did anything. And I'm like, well, because they're complicit. If they only knew, the DA doesn't give a shit.
Right.
And the state of Pennsylvania doesn't really care either.
Well, so this is where we learn about Gene's across the street neighbors. They're longtime friends of Gene's. They run the township. Like the guy runs the township and the wife is the secretary. Bob says they've done one hell of a good job.
You can't make this shit up.
Have they, Bob? They're letting people dig up bodies anytime they want.
Well, they're not here.
Right.
And we don't know their names.
Yeah, exactly.
But they're very powerful in the township and they were very, very involved with Jean. They were always helping her with the house and running errands for her. Like, these are powerful people, but they are really, like, bending the knee for Jean and doing whatever she wants.
Yep.
So I don't, like, there's no way they didn't know what was going on, right?
Exactly.
So Tom, the coroner at the diner, who loves that pie or cheesecake, says June and Jimmy, the dead bodies, are at the morgue. And Jean, the crazy woman, is harassing him and demanding to see them. And Jean says no.
Tom
says no. And then Jean's like, well, fine. Can you at least make sure they're dressed in the clothes I want them to be dressed in?
So she brings duffel bags down. And then Tom does this. And Tom is explaining, like, the disgusting task of, like, undressing and redressing these corpses. But he's telling us with a chuckle. Once again, he thinks this is so adorable. Then Jean is like, girl, could you also talk to them? Because, like, they're used to having conversations.
And just to make a fine point on what Tom is saying, they weren't preserved properly.
Right.
She's letting them rot in her home. So as a coroner, someone who is used to seeing, like, what you should really do to preserve a body, of course she's not doing any of it because she's having tea time.
Right. Yes. But now Tom is not only having conversations with, what are their names? June and Jimmy. When other people die.
I'd bring somebody in off the streets, right? Car crash, home, whatever. Bring them in off the streets and put them into the morgue. It got to the point where I would say, hey, June, Jimmy, this is so-and-so. So-and-so, June and Jimmy. I thought I was going crazy. Maybe I am. I don't know.
he's now introducing them to Jimmy and June so the three of them can have a conversation.
And Beth Karras is like, the people don't know about this. I have to say, I feel like I've been saying it every episode. We have to stop letting people be crazy because you think it's easier to let them be crazy than it is to handle them.
Uh-huh.
Because Tom says, I just didn't want to deal with her, so I did what she said. You can't, when someone is crazy,
I know,
letting them continue to be crazy because that's the devil you know only makes them behave crazier.
Yeah. Yes. Yes. And it's also like, it's also making Tom crazy. And also, I just really realized, as much as I think that when you die, like, I believe like your soul goes out into the universe, whatever, this is not how I want my body to spend its afterlife.
Thank you.
I don't want my body having to have conversations with other dead people in the park.
I promise you, June and Jimmy didn't either.
Yeah.
I promise you. So now 2007, this is 2 years before her sister June died.
Yes.
And she dug her up, and a couple years after her husband Jimmy. The gas industry comes to Pennsylvania, and there's like this enormous reserve of natural gas. So they're approaching the landowners, trying to get them to sign leases, giving the gas industry permission to drill. Now, Jean is sitting on a gold mine.
Because she's got that 120 acres.
And like, but even underneath it, it just, it's like they drew a circle and said, where is the most lucrative place, and put Jean's property on it. It's the most valuable.
The Saudi Arabia of Pennsylvania.
It could not be more valuable. Like, even the gas people were like, holy shit. Like, they were not expecting it to be
like
this lucrative.
If it was a cartoon, there would be like an eruption and the house
and
would be
gold.
Up on a pile of gold. Yeah. Exactly. Girl, gusto is back. Look, I can speak from experience. When you run a small business, you don't just do the job. You're also the hiring manager, the payroll department, the benefits team, usually all before lunch, girl.
Yeah, so Gusto is online payroll and benefits software built for small businesses. It's all-in-one, remote-friendly, and incredibly easy to use, so you can pay, hire, onboard, and support your team from anywhere.
And let me tell you, we've been using Gusto for forever, and like, we are not business people. Steve loves Gusto so much. They've got the best customer service. They answer all. He was on the phone with them today talking about like a particular issue that we had no idea how to like deal with. They walked him through it in like 20 minutes and he felt like he was on top of the world.
And I know you might be thinking, dear listener, like, well, how do I switch over? That's got to be really complicated. Yeah. No. It's quick and simple to switch to Gusto. You just transfer your existing data to get up and running super fast, and you don't pay a single cent until you run your first payroll.
Yeah, I really can't speak highly enough. Gusto advertises with us because we begged them, because we wanted to tell the world how much we love them. We love Gusto here at TCO. So fam, try Gusto today at gusto.com/TCO and get 3 months free when you run your first payroll.
That's 3 months of free payroll at gusto.com/TCO.
One more time, gusto.com/TCO.
Transfer that data. Say it again. So this, of course, makes Jean a target because she's old and people know she's pretty much sitting on piles and piles and piles of money.
And she has no descendants.
And she's a little old lady. Yeah. So now she doesn't have anyone to give the property to.
That's why everybody is tripping over themselves. Like, Jean, can we dig up more bodies for you? Who else do you want from the cemetery, Jean?
And Beth Karras, who's seen this shit time and time again, she's like,
it doesn't take a rocket scientist to make the leap that, you know, maybe somebody has thought, well, you know, I'd like those mineral rights. I'd like those houses. And work their way into her life. It happens all the time.
But that is why everyone's like, Jean, sure, move this dead body. Thought you'd never ask.
On the sled, you say? How about over my shoulder, girl?
And we're not told how many millions, but it's got to be like breathtaking amounts so that people can look the other way on something so vile.
But that's like a really important point. This is why people are looking the other way. Right. Everybody wants the money.
Right.
And so remember Doran and Kate, he's the actual nephew. He's like her only living heir.
Yeah.
He's so afraid that the neighbors across the street, the people who run the town, are going to get the house from Jean just by being nice to her, that he goes to see an attorney to sort of like stopgap that. And it's in this conversation with the attorney that he's like, and also there's bodies in the house. I don't know if that's important. I don't know if that's a thing. And we learned that that's how the police found out that the bodies were in the house and they got taken away. So now Doran and Kate get cut out of the will.
Yeah, but Kate is sitting here and she goes, so like as if she's talking to the lawyer. Well, she's very quirky. Kate, I need you to stop using that word. Never say that word again.
People like have made their peace with how crazy this is.
Has no one seen Psycho? Am I out of my mind?
No, you're not. But it's like people.
And also you don't need a movie
no.
to tell you that this is crazy. crazy.
And I think when people start doing insane shit, they just normalize it in their own heads to like deal with their own complicity or whatever the word
is. I gotta tell you, she must have been a nightmare to be married to.
Who?
Jean. She's manipulative.
Yeah.
She's rude. She's abusive.
I wonder what the real dynamic was between the sisters. Did they really love each other?
Or is she like torturing these people even in death?
Oh my God.
I don't think Jean was very nice or fun to be around. Because there's not like a lot of family here. Everyone seems to just let the fucking sisters Grey Gardens themselves into oblivion.
Uh-huh.
And they'll come around when they're about to die to get the money.
Now, those Grey Garden sisters, I would have spent some time with them.
Yeah, you would have. Little Edie.
Little Edie, those are my kind of like weirdos.
I would have spent time with the Bill Hader version on Documentary Now, which is the best, most amazing one when he falls through the ceiling. It's the funniest fucking thing. But guess what? So Jean learns her own nephew ratted her out. Now she hates him. Bada bing, bada boom, out of the will. Not a contender for the money.
Yeah.
But even the well-connected neighbors, nobody in the documentary wants to say anything against them.
It's wild that their names are like left out of
this
thing.
They must be very powerful in this
county. And we'll find out why in a little bit. But that guy, Tom the Coroner, we learned that Tom also can't be trusted.
The Attorney General's office concluded Tom Carman had made about $356,000 worth of unauthorized purchases through his Western Alliance company, the ambulance company he was CEO of.
He embezzled $350,000 from his own company.
From a nonprofit EMT agency.
I know.
He was stealing money. Tom made $356,000 worth of unauthorized purchases. I told you not to fall in love with him.
He also wrote a book about Jean. He wrote a book called My Illusion of Normal, The Peculiar Case of Jean Stevens.
Jean was like, you got to write a book about me. And Tom, by his own admission, is not a writer. And yet...
writes his own book.
Oh my God.
I know.
So now we learn also that Jean is using her feminine wiles. Flirting with Tom to get what she wanted. She actually brushed her teeth for
him. You got it, flaunt it, Jeannie.
And they make a point to say she brushed her teeth
She brushed her teeth.
Can everyone please brush their teeth?
Please.
She's
hiking
her skirt up at the table. She's showing a lot of leg and then some.
When Don is telling us the story, he is laughing his head off. 92-year-old Jean hiking her leg up to try to get Tom to give her the bodies back.
Yeah, she's like, you know, I always wanted to marry a funeral director.
Oh,
and like, it's this woman, for her to say, I've always wanted to marry a funeral director, she is obsessed with dead bodies.
Yes.
Either that or she's charming Tom or both.
Yeah.
She is obsessed with dead
she
bodies.
She wants somebody who can do the embalming for her.
So now Jean wants a separate new garage to house all of her dead bodies. And Tom is helping her because he's a coroner and he knows how to preserve dead bodies.
And
Tom,
basically, she wants to make a mausoleum because to comply with local law, she needs an airtight, temperature controlled, literal mausoleum. And so she's built with her oil money. She's now building a mausoleum in the backyard.
And then there's these 8 tables laid out. Boom, boom, boom. I said, Jean, good God, what do you do with these tables? Well, this is where June's going to be. This is where Jimmy's going to be. Mom's going to be here. June's husband's going to be here. My grandfather, he's going to be here. And, you know, when I die, I'm going to be here.
What she wants to do is dig up the rest of her family keep them in this mausoleum.
She wants to dig up her parents.
This is a new idea that Jean concocted. These people didn't want this.
Just to have the bodies on display in her garage.
Whenever she wanted to push the slate rock away and have a tea party with them. And that's what she wants.
But then to also be there herself when she dies any minute.
I think she was a controlling bitch.
Oh.
And I think that's what she's doing now. Everything is on her terms. Fuck what anyone else wants.
And then give somebody that oil money and it's the sky's the limit.
I mean, she's I always say this villain is so bad. They're like the oil tycoon in a Muppets movie.
Yeah.
We're living it.
Oh, totally. Scrooge McDuck diving into his money silo.
Kermit is like, oh my God, Rolf. They're all we just wanted to put on a musical at the town. We just wanted to refurbish this theater and be sweet.
But we can't have nice things because people like to dig up dead bodies.
So guess what? Jean breaks her hip, which at her age is the beginning of the end. We all know that.
The glee with which she broke her fucking hip.
She's decrepit. And at this time, it's the beginning of the end. So she looks like one of the corpses that she's having tea with.
Yeah.
She's
ugly. She also says she's ready to go.
And Tom is there on her deathbed.
Yeah.
And she fucking drops dead or whatever at 92 years old in 2022. She croaks.
She drops dead or whatever at 92 years old.
How about we bury her and then exhume her and just totally disrespect all of her wishes for the rest of her life?
And then it's in the end, number one, we learn that Like, she's claustrophobic, so she doesn't want to be buried. They're not going to let her do the mausoleum thing in the garage. So Tom, who's like left with all the, but he's still got Gene and Jimmy in like on ice at the morgue. Now he's got Jean's body to deal with. He builds an above ground mausoleum to keep her from being buried. But I'm like, bitch, as soon as you put the cover on that thing, it's the claustrophobia is claustrophobia.
I was going to say, I'm like, that she's still claustrophobic. They show us, it's not huge.
No.
It fits June, Jean, and Jimmy. June and Jean must be fucking spinning.
Can I also say one thing?
Stuck with her for the rest of eternity.
For eternity. The claustrophobia goes away when you died. You know what I mean? When your spirit leaves this mortal coil, the claustrophobia goes with it, no?
I think so. I don't know. She's just a fucking crazy liar.
And like, in the end, the neighbors across the street get the property.
Right, and Tom is here today, presently, at the vault, reminiscing.
I know.
He's like, touching where Gene, like kissing his hand and like smooching Gene.
Like, it can't be overstated though. Like, this property is worth millions and millions and millions of dollars. And Beth Karras has a theory that because they're gonna now own the property with the mausoleum on it, and because they run the town.
Maybe they didn't put her in this burial chamber and they put her somewhere else. Is this part of the arrangement? Disposing of Gene the way she wanted to be disposed of in death to give the beneficiaries her estate?
Maybe Gene worked out a deal with these across street neighbors. I'll give you my multi-million dollar property if you can promise me you'll put me and my whole family in the mausoleum. And it cuts to Tom, the funeral director, who was one of four people at Gene's funeral. And he's like, you know, now that you mention it, I don't know that we ever actually put Gene and Jimmy and June in that thing.
And Beth Karras and many other people in the stock are like, we would not be surprised if Gene is elsewhere, if Gene is not anywhere.
I mean, and that mausoleum is on the property of the new owners of the estate. And so like, no one will ever know.
And the new owners are keeping the family very far away from anything. There wasn't an obituary for Gene.
Right. Yeah.
There are no records of the burial. Pennsylvania, what is going on?
What is happening over there?
And then like, the neighbors destroyed all of the structures on the property except for this homemade mausoleum.
Like, why would they keep that other than unless they made a deal with Gene?
And Beth Karras is not letting this go. It ends with her trying, like on the phone, trying to get permission from the town to check the property. The neighbors who work at the office that Beth is calling,
they run the town,
are not returning her calls.
No.
And it ends with a plea from Beth Karras. If anyone is watching who has any idea how I can check out that property, we are all ears.
We are
Someone
all ears.
Call and help Beth Karras. She's desperate.
I feel like Beth Karras at the end of this, just she did a GP and like walked right to the bar.
Like, because she's surrounded by insane people.
I know.
Being gaslit, like, this is quirky. Everyone get that fucking word out of your mouth.
Totally.
This is not quirky.
Not quirky.
Dumb bitch.
Oh my God, girl. We did the curious case of the corpse that came to dinner. Oh my God.
Unbelievable.
Please, fam, follow us on YouTube. Go watch our episodes. You're going to want to watch this episode. Just join us over there. It's so fun. Join us on Patreon. There's links in the show notes to everything. What are we doing next, girl?
We are doing Dateline, The Perfect Life, season 32. Season 32.
Wow.
Episode 27 on Peacock. This is another Andrea Canning, literally, like, do you hear yourself?
A-cans.
Do you hear yourself?
I love it when she throws the journalism out the window. She's crying.
She's
yelling.
As gaslit as Beth Karras.
Yeah.
This fucking idiot husband is the worst.
All right. Stay tuned for the trailer for that, fam. We love you. Stay safe out there. Let the dead stay dead and buried.
Please don't bury people. And everyone watch Psycho, for God's sake.
For God's sake.
The man, he's happy as a pig in mud. What would make him kill someone?
Did your dad say anything to you like, I didn't do this?
Yes, he did, and I believe him.
He's a master manipulator.
How certain were you that Remy Ramsaran killed his wife?
No doubt in my mind.
We discovered that under Jennifer Ramsaran's fingernails was male DNA.
The DNA underneath my wife's fingernails, it's not mine.